When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome into the Lounge Podcast, presented by DraftKings. I'm Garrett Downing, and I'm joined by Clifton Brown, who is down in Florida, sunny Florida, at the annual NFL owners meetings. He just wrapped up the coach's breakfast, where he sat down with head coach John Harbaugh for about a half hour, along with a number of other reporters, and heard from Harbs on a bunch of topics related to this team over the course of the offseason. So we want to break down what we had to hear from Coach Harbaugh today, and also what Cliff is seeing down there at these owners meetings. Have you gotten, you know, wined and dined down there, Cliff? You know, I know it's pretty fancy, so have you been able to enjoy that at all?
Not yet, Garrett. They have the big reception tonight, which is always really nice, with
okay,
people walking around with, you know, lobsters and steaks, and yeah, everybody kind of just enjoying the spectacular scenery down here. So yeah, that part will be nice tonight, but just got in late last night, and was interesting to hear from John Harbaugh early this morning.
Yeah, so let's dive into that conversation with Coach Harbaugh and the things that he had to point out. I think he covered a lot of ground. I mean, he talked with reporters for about a half hour today. And, you know, I think the conversation, and we've talked about this a number of times over the course of the last few weeks, is the offensive line. And that's where the conversation started during his media session today. And I would say that probably dominated the number of questions that he got when you look at it in totality. So the thing that stuck out to me in relation to the offensive line is what he said right off the bat when he talked about what his vision is for that line. And he said he wants it to be better than it was last year. So I know the Ravens they have to replace three of the five starters from last year, but they are looking at this as a improvement opportunity, not necessarily we just have to get back to that level last year because we lost these people. They actually think that going with some young players, bringing in free agents, addressing it in the draft, they're going to have an opportunity to make this line better than it was last season.
Right, and that's the way John Harbaugh, Eric DaCosta, Steve Bisciotta, the whole organization thinks, getting better no matter who comes and who goes. So, you know, for that to happen, if you thought about it, you started with Ronnie Stanley, you know, if he's healthier than he has been the last couple of years, and at least he's starting the offseason relatively healthy, we know what Ronnie Stanley can be when he is healthy. He's going to have to work to get back to that. He knows it. He's talked about doing it, and health has been the main thing. So if you have Ronnie Stanley close to being the all-pro that he has been in the past, then you also have him plus the best center in John Harbaugh's opinion in football and Tyler Linderbaum. Those are two really good pieces to start with. And then there's an opportunity for a lot of young players and an offensive line that is supposed to be one of the best offensive line draft classes in, say, 20 years. I think the Ravens will add at least one or two players on the line from that draft. There's a chance that things can come together along with some of the pieces that they picked up, and maybe we'll add some more veterans down the road. So it's the most important thing on the Ravens list this offseason, offensive line. If they improve it, or if it's a good offensive line with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry and Mark Andrews and other pieces they have a chance to be really good.
Yeah, totally. I thought that the point on Ronnie Stanley was, you know, was interesting. Obviously the Ravens reportedly went through a big contract restructure with him, and he took a pretty sizable pay cut and adjusted his contract. But John Harbaugh made the point that the focus for him is getting back to his form and regaining his strength. And so the Ravens, you know, while they went through that, have reported contract restructure, they also have faith in Ronnie that he can get back to that point because he's still here, you know, and that was one of the questions. He's still here. And so, you know, the expectation obviously is that he's going to be the starting left tackle, and this is a really big year for him. And so, you know, they want him to get back to, before his injury, he was as good as any left tackle in football. And the hope is that he can get back, you know, to that level. And that's a high bar, but the Ravens, you know, they've invested a lot in him, starting with when he was drafted as the number 6 overall pick, and invested a lot of money and time and all of that. And so the hope is that he can get back to that level. And I, you know, honestly, we sat down with Ronnie late last season on the podcast, and he made the point in that conversation that he's confident he can play at that level. Like, he does not think that that's a thing of the past and those days are gone. He doesn't view it as that. He thinks he can get back to playing that at that level, and that's really the focus for him. And so I think that that's where, you know, this offensive line, left tackle is, you know, it's one of the most important positions in football. Protect the quarterback's blind side. You get paid big-time money, a lot of draft resources, obviously. So the left tackle is critical, and the Ravens are, you know, in some ways, in a lot of ways, betting on Ronnie to get back to that point, and I think that he's motivated to do that. So I thought that was encouraging to hear from Harbaugh. You know, and then on the other tackle spot, you know, the Ravens traded Morgan Moses to the Jets, and Harbaugh addressed that trade because you look at it and you're like, wait, Morgan was a good player. Everybody liked him. Hardworking guy, played through an injury last year. Why do you make that trade? And he kind of expounded upon that and explained it a little bit today when he met with media.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he made it clear that finances were a part of it, that, you know, the Ravens tight against the cap, that deal did free up some cap room. And then, yeah, Morgan's a good player for all the reasons you just mentioned. So now that's an opportunity for, you know, someone to step into that spot, win that job. We know there's going to be a new right tackle, and it'll be a younger player, whoever it is, and someone who can hopefully solidify that spot for the next 2 or 3 years, maybe not making, you know, the money that Morgan Moses was. I think 1.2 John Harbaugh mentioned when he was talking was that he mentioned Joe DeLisandis, the longtime offensive line coach of the Ravens, what a great job he does developing offensive linemen, helping them to develop. I think that's going to be a key again this offseason, with so many young players looking to win either starting jobs or more playing time, that Joe D is the type of coach who can really get the most out of those type players, and even veteran players, whether you're a young player or a veteran player. You talk to any offensive lineman, they all, without prompting, will talk about how much they love working with Joe D and how he's helped their careers. So that's one coach. We've talked about a lot of coaches who have left the Ravens staff. Having Joe D's presence to work this offseason with this offensive line, as important as that will be, I think that is a key plus that the Ravens do have.
Yeah, I mean, just look at the track record. Ben Powers, in mid-round pick, starts, gets a massive contract. You know, you look at last year, John Simpson comes in, and he was a guy that was, you know, kind of hanging on in the NFL, ends up winning the starting job, and he got a nice contract this offseason. Even a player like Bradley Bozeman, he ends up, you know, he's had a long career now in the NFL, just signed a contract with the Chargers after getting released by Carolina. But he was a 6th-round pick, you know, who's had a nice long career in the NFL. So there's a lot of examples of mid- and late-round picks who the Ravens have developed over time and had a ton of success under Joe D and this offensive line. I mean, even like Orlando Brown was a 3rd-round pick, and he's been a great offensive tackle. So I think that the Ravens have a ton of confidence in his ability to help these guys develop. I think that at right tackle, the Ravens are going to give Daniel Falele a chance to win that spot. You know, this is a guy, 3rd-round pick, you know, similar to Orlando Brown in the sense that he's a massive guy. And the comparisons were made to those two guys when Falele came out of the draft. And so he's going to get a chance to win that job. And I think that's part of the reason that you move on from Morgan Moses, as much as you may not like the decision. It's a tough call, but you have a young player who's now going into his 3rd season. This is an opportunity for him to take the next step, and you can put him out there and see how, if he holds up. That's what you need to do. You need to get some of these young guys on the field. And so the Ravens may do that with Falele. Of course, it depends on what happens in the draft, but as it stands right now, he looks like the favorite to win that right tackle job. And there's other young players at other spots as well. He talked about Andrew Voorhees, who's good to go. He's ready to play, and he'll get a chance at left guard. I mean, I think that there's a lot of intrigue around him as a guy that the Ravens drafted. They traded up to get him in the 7th round, knowing that he was going to miss a season. But he could potentially step in and be your starting left guard this year. And then the other one too is you know, last week the Ravens went and they signed Josh Jones, who, you know, he's a third round pick. He's played basically all four spots: right tackle, left tackle, right guard, left guard. Primarily the last couple of years on the left side, but relatively high draft pick, a lot of talent, athletic. And we talked about it on the podcast about how the move kind of is similar to when the Ravens signed John Simpson, like a little bit under the radar, but you get a guy who has some upside. Could he potentially come in and start? It's too early to tell, but John Harbaugh, you must listen to the podcast, Cliff. He mentioned that this move, you know, he drew the comparison to the John Simpson signing that happened a little more than a year ago. And so it'll be interesting to see how he fits into this mix.
No question. I mean, he, as you mentioned, so many guys will have an opportunity to win a starting job or to play more. And, you know, he mentioned with Falele that he's going to concentrate just on being a tackle, that they want him to focus on that position. That's his best position. It's the place where he has the best chance to win a starting job. And Falele's made a lot of strides, in my opinion, since he joined the Ravens. I mean, you remember his early practices. Yeah. He had trouble just even getting through practice. He's in much, much better condition than he used to be, really focused on that part of his game. He's raw. We all know about, you know, the later start he had in football than some guys, that he has a huge upside with his physical blessings, and then coupled with the fact that he's learning the game at a later stage than a lot of guys he's playing with, his upside is huge. So certainly there's talent that they have, and there's more talent that they're going to bring in on offensive line. The key is, as we all know, whether it all comes together starting week one. They've got months to do it. There's no rush to do it right now. But, yeah, it's not so much, you know, who wins the jobs, and, you know, that's part of it. But it's more collectively when they set on that five-man lineup in front of Lamar, how well they can play together during the season. Because, again, if that part – of the team comes together, there's no doubt in my mind Lamar in his second year in Ty Montgomery's offense with the pieces that he has to work with, you know, bringing in a guy like Derrick Henry and then whatever other additions may come, Mark Andrews hopefully starting the season healthy along with Zay Flowers and everyone else, their offense could be more dynamic than last year if the offensive line is playing well.
Yeah, so let's just move into the overall offense, and that was also part of the conversation. And what does this offense look like? You had a big back in Derrick Henry, and Henry's certainly comfortable getting the ball 30 times and being that bruising running back. That's not really how the Ravens have operated from an offensive standpoint. So his arrival has the potential to change some things with this offense. Also, it's the second year under Todd Monken, and you know, John Harbaugh has now said on a number of occasions this offseason that the second year they expect there to be a big jump in this system. Everyone was kind of learning it last year. At this point a year ago, Lamar wasn't even under contract, and so you were kind of navigating that whole thing. And you know, I think that everyone really thinks that this offense can go to another level in its second year under Monken. Everyone understands the terminology, kind of what they want to do. And I also thought it was interesting is he kind of talked even more about Lamar's ownership within it, which that was a huge talking point last year. Lamar, you know, was given the keys and he's going to take control of the offense. But it sounds like now you even back it up a step. And he said that Lamar is really going to be an architect in building this thing, which I found pretty fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that Lamar really likes playing in Ty Montgomery's offense. And also that he sees the opportunity to have more input because he was given that right off the bat. So now that he feels he can have more input, he's embracing that. And yeah, whether it's plays they want to run, the style they want to play, I think Lamar feels like he needs to be more vocal to the coaching staff about that because they are really taking his thoughts under consideration. And also, I feel like, you know, Derrick Henry was the guy, you know, where a lot of backs, when the season ended, you thought the Ravens might try and go after. Derrick Henry was the guy that I most wanted them to get that I felt fit best. You know, the whole, you know, running back decline thing, we all know all the talk about that, but, you know, he was the second leading rusher in the NFL last year. So, yes, is Derrick Henry the same player, you know, he was 3 years ago? You could make a case that he's not, and he certainly has more mileage on him than he had 3 years ago. But he was still the second leading rusher in the NFL last year on a team that didn't come close to making the playoffs, where everyone knew when you played the Titans, priority number one, two, and three was to try and stop Derrick Henry. Now you put him in the backfield with Lamar Jackson and the other pieces that they have around him. He doesn't have to carry it 20, 25 times a game. The threat that he has with himself and Lamar together puts tremendous stress on the defense. Nobody still looks that forward to tackling Derrick Henry, particularly in the third and fourth quarter. The Ravens will have that hammer with a guy like Patrick Ricard blocking in front of him. So I don't see any way that this does not help the Ravens offense, that this doesn't help Lamar. Lamar is going to be excited. He is excited about the opportunity to play with Derrick Henry. Henry feels the same way about Lamar. And Derrick Henry fits right in with the Ravens as far as being a guy who's great player. Really the only thing left that he hasn't done in his career is to win a Super Bowl. And he knows he has a much better chance of winning a Super Bowl in Baltimore than he had in Tennessee. He was the main reason, in my opinion, the Titans had a chance to win, you know, playoff games and Super Bowls 3 or 4 years ago. It was because of him. Now he comes to a team where he knows, even without him, they're a Super Bowl contender. With him, he's going to come, I think, with tremendous juice. He's always in shape. So, yeah, I'm really excited about in Monken's offense, Monken having the chance to dial up plays with Lamar and Derrick Henry and Andrews and Zay Flowers, the offensive coordinator. You have to be excited about what you can do with all those pieces and more.
Yeah, I think there's no question about that. I just think it's interesting that you kind of see Lamar's growth and maturation as a player, and also the respect that the coaching staff has for him and the way he sees the game and the types of players that he thinks fit with him and how he likes to play. And, you know, it's he's looking at players and sharing thoughts with the coaching staff and the personnel side. And, you know, from the time the season ended, he talked with John Harbaugh about, you know, what went right, where they can improve, what he wants to see happen. And that's from a personnel standpoint. That's from a scheme standpoint. I mean, it's all encompassing. And I really think that, like, look, when you give a quarterback the contract that Lamar got, you expect them to kind of be the leader of the team and all of that, of course. But I just think that, like, it's kind of a partnership in a lot of ways, and Lamar has real ownership of everything that I think the Ravens are doing. And obviously he's the most important player on this team. Breaking news here. But I think that, like, the way that he has taken ownership of this offense that he likes, the way that he is providing input for the offense from a personnel standpoint, all of it. Like, he is sharing his thoughts and opinions and has a, as John Harbaugh said, kind of he's involved in the architecture of the entire thing. And so it starts with him from the ground up from a design standpoint. And I think that Lamar's fingerprints are going to be even more on this offense and really this team as a whole in terms of how they're built, the players that they have. And I think that's interesting and exciting. I mean, it kind of goes to the point that a reporter asked John Harbaugh about how has Lamar's success changed the way that either quarterback evaluations, the way that you think about quarterbacks coming out of the draft, the way that players could decide to come out of the draft, all of that. And he's like, oh, I think it's changed everything. Like he did not shy away from the notion that, like, Lamar's success and the way that he is playing has changed everything in the NFL. I thought that was kind of an interesting point from Harbaugh.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Yeah, Lamar's definitely been a trendsetter. He's a guy that, you know, he moves the needle. Everyone pays attention to what he does. But, I mean, yeah, to me, I mean, the knee-jerk reaction after, you know, they lost, after the Ravens lost the AFC Championship game, well, you know, what a disappointment it was and all that. And sure, it was disappointing, but, you know, what's the DiCaprio movies in Wolf of Wall Street where he's talking about, I'm not leaving? You know, like, yeah. Mars not leaving. Like, the Ravens aren't leaving. Like, that did not break them. It was a disappointment, but it's over. They still believe they could win 2-3 more Super Bowls during Lamar Jackson's career. He's not on the decline. He's not too old. He's still looking to get better. He's just coming off an MVP season. So, yeah, he's not leaving. The Ravens aren't leaving. They're the defending AFC North champs. I think they'll clearly be back in the hunt, you know, to win a Super Bowl next year. But it's hard. I mean, only one team can do it. And, yeah, you have to have that resiliency when you have a defeat like that to come back. And I don't think there's any question that the Ravens from top to bottom, they're even more so determined to give it another run. So last year is in the past. They're looking ahead to the draft, you know, the moves they've made this offseason. I think they've had a good offseason so far and with more to come. And, yeah, starting with Lamar, he's definitely the thing that the engine of this team. He's fully confident and enthusiastic about coming back, being a better player, and in being part of a better offense.
Yeah, and while we're talking quarterback, just quickly on the backup quarterback front, listeners certainly know that Tyler Huntley has gone on to Cleveland. He's signed with them and is competing for a spot there. The Ravens brought back Josh Johnson. Harbaugh was excited to get Josh Johnson back, felt good about what they saw from him last year is one of the three quarterbacks on the active roster. And so he's going to be the backup this year. And then Malik Cunningham, you know, who the Ravens signed late in the process. He's played quarterback, of course, a little bit of receiver even. And so there's just intrigue around Malik Cunningham. And basically Josh Johnson's the number two. And then the Ravens will see how Malik Cunningham continues to develop. They're excited about him. He's got potential, you know, was kind of an electric player during his time also at Louisville. And so they'll kind of just see where that goes with Malik and how he develops. And, you know, I think he's going to be competing for a spot on the team. And that'll play out over the course of the summer and, of course, in training camp in the preseason. So we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll take a look at some of the other positions and big topics that Coach Harbaugh mentioned, including the pass rushers. I know there's a lot of interest about pass rushers, so we'll share what Coach Harbaugh had to say on that front as well. You're listening to the Lounge Podcast. We're coming to you from the SeatGeek Studio. We want to give a shout-out to our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook. They're an official sports betting partner of the Baltimore Ravens, and they've got a limited-time offer running that you don't want to miss. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today. Use the promo code FLOCK. If you're a new user, you can get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Again, the promo code is FLOCK only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You need to be physically present in Maryland to play and at least 21 years or older. For help, visit mdgamblinghelp.org or call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, so Cliff, you know, quickly on the offensive side, the receiver conversation. The Ravens expect Zay Flowers and Rashad Bateman to really take over that role, that room. You know, Zay was the number one last year, and I think he's going to continue to be that. But the Ravens expect big things from Bateman this year, and so we'll see how he continues to develop. But, you know, they're betting on him. He's going into his fourth season, and they've got a lot of hope in him. And he also talked about Odell Beckham Jr. leaving and what went into that. What was your takeaway on the whole receiver conversation?
Yeah, well, I mean, his comments on Odell, Coach Harbaugh, is basically, yeah, that he, you know, he loved Odell and still loves him. But, yeah, it certainly feels like finances played a role in that as well. And so Odell not here anymore. We haven't mentioned Nelson Aguilar, too. You know, again, I thought he played well for the Ravens last year, and I think that it's good to have him back in that room. But, yeah, I definitely feel like the Ravens are going to add at least one more receiver. There's been reports of them, you know, talking to several veteran wide receivers already this offseason. One of those guys may be signed. And then, yeah, in the draft, that's definitely, again, going to be a position that they're going to keep a close eye on. And I feel that at some point in the draft, they will bring in a wide receiver. And I thought it was interesting, too, that Coach Harbaugh said that he and Lamar have had some conversations about some wide receivers in the draft and that they were kind of in lockstep about what they've seen so far. He didn't reveal any name of guys they like. But again, as part of, you know, Lamar being a part of how this offense is going to move forward, he's looking for other targets that he wants to throw to who could possibly be in this draft. The Ravens are thinking the same way. So, yeah, Bateman is definitely a key this year, no question. I mean, the first-round pick, we all know the Ravens have always loved his talent. We know that, you know, health has been the biggest challenge he's had in his career. So starting an offseason healthy is big for Bateman. I think that, yeah, this year, hopefully he can just get through, you know, training camp, healthy and ready to go. Because if he's healthy, I think the experience that he got last year, being in that wide receiver room around, you know, a vet like Odell and Aguilar, was really beneficial for him. And I think he's embracing the opportunity to have a bigger role in the offense. That's something that he's always wanted. And when he first got here, he wasn't healthy enough to take advantage of it. This time, hopefully, he will be. So the room isn't complete, but no matter how it shakes out, yes, Bateman, I think, is going to be a huge part of it, of whether this wide receiver room next year reaches the potential the Ravens wanted to.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, the Odell thing, you know, I thought, again, he pointed to the financial piece of it, and it was, you know, Odell made a big chunk of money last year, reportedly $15 million. And so, you know, the Ravens don't have that. I don't know what kind of contract he's looking for. I don't think it would necessarily be at that value. But even if it's less than that, they probably weren't able to fit that kind of figure under the cap. So I think in a vacuum, yeah, it would have been great to bring him back. And you know, he was second on the team in receiving yards and receptions, and so the Ravens are going to have to replace that, and I think a lot of that's going to fall on Bateman's shoulders. But you know, Odell has already reportedly been in the mix on some other teams and took a visit to Miami, and so we'll see where he ultimately ends up and what that deal looks like for him. You know, and then for the Ravens, you mentioned some reported visits and interests. You know, they're reportedly interested in Michael Gallup, reportedly also had Josh Reynolds in for a visit. So they're in that market, but at a price tag lower than what Odell got last year. And so I agree. I think the Ravens will still sign somebody. I don't think they're done adding to that room, but I think we're talking about assigning more in the range of what Nelson Aguilar got last year and this year. I think that's kind of the price tag that we're talking about at the receiver position.
Right. No question. And yeah, I mean, just thinking of Odell, I had to laugh. You know, I saw the visit, reported visit to Miami. Yeah. I can picture Odell on South Beach. I mean, I had
like
no problem.
Right,
right. I had no problem. And then, yeah, I mean, if that happens playing with, you know, guys like, you know, Waddle and the Cheetah, I mean, yeah, I think that could be a good spot for him. So, yeah, I do think it was a good marriage last year, Odell and the Ravens. They're parting as friends. But, yes, moving forward with the Ravens, I agree with you that I think a vet, you know, more in the Aguilar type salary structure range will come. And yeah, if they can hit on a wide receiver in this year's draft, doesn't have to be a guy, you know, who makes 80 catches, but a guy who just adds a piece to the offense, that would, yeah, totally. It is inconceivable that the wide receiver room could be better than it was last year. If you have a healthy Bateman, a vet who comes in and makes a contribution, and a wide receiver, a rookie wide receiver who gets in the mix, yeah, that could be a room that's not only better next season, but moving forward, that is younger and better.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. So the other big free agency question that really is still kind of hanging over this team is at pass rusher. And we're talking about Jadeveon Clowney and Kyle Van Noy. Clowney's reportedly taking visits elsewhere, Carolina, the Jets. We'll see where he ends up. But what John Harbaugh said is that they have continued to have conversations with those two players. The Ravens are still in contact with them. Kyle Van Noy also tweeted over the weekend that he has talked with Eric DaCosta about a potential return. So Harbaugh said it would be great to get, you know, at least one of them, maybe both of them back. I think, you know, based on the salary that those guys will likely command after really good seasons, it's probably an either-or proposition. And, you know, I don't know where that will ultimately land. I also, you know, it felt like going into the process that those guys wouldn't be in a hurry. They signed late last year, but all of a sudden Clowney's now taking visits here in March. And so maybe that timetable is moved up a little bit, that they could get something done earlier than expected. And I think it would be great if you're able to bring one of those guys back. I think, you know, right now you probably have the salary to make it work. Not too much more. It's still going to be relatively tight, but I think if you can find a way to keep one of them, you would. And I don't know if they have a preference on which one that would be, but the door is certainly not closed on either of those guys coming back, and the Ravens are maintaining contact with them, and that was what I took away from hearing from Harbs on that.
Oh, yeah, no question. I mean, Ravens like both of those players, and why wouldn't they with what they contributed last year? You think of what, talking about 18.5 sacks between both of them, I mean, and great in the locker room as well, and the experience that they brought helped the entire team and that outside linebacker room. I agree with you. I don't see how it would be both guys coming back, but to get either back would be a plus. And they've earned the right to look around. They have interest from other teams based on how they played last year. We know Van Noy, I think, really, he really had a chip on his shoulder, I thought, last year, thinking that, you know, he couldn't believe the season was starting and he was on the count, knowing that he was a better player than a lot of guys he was looking at on his big screen. So by the time he got here to Baltimore, he was stoked, and he played like it. Clowney, always tremendous talent, you know, a former number one overall pick. I mean, he's a unique player, and he loved playing here. I do think that is one thing that could help the Ravens with getting one of these two guys back, is that they both love playing with the Ravens. They would say that over and over again without prompting, and it was true. So if there's a, you know, tipping point, if they're trying to decide between somewhere else and the Ravens, if the money's close or the same, I think the Ravens win. So it's kind of on their timetable, because they have interest and they don't have to make a quick decision. But I do, and my money would be on one of them coming back. Which one? I think it could be either. But I feel like the Ravens won't lose both. I don't know anything. I just have a gut feeling that knowing how much those two guys like to play here and knowing that this team has opportunity to do something special, that weighs in the way Ravens' favor of getting one of them back. But we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, the other point that Harbaugh made was about David Ajabo, who he expects to be healthy. You know, Ajabo came back last year from the Achilles, and there was all this excitement, and then he missed time and ended up having knee surgery, and, you know, just a really disappointing year for him on the injury front. But there's still optimism around him, and the Ravens are not, like, moving on from David Ajabo. There's firmly a belief that this is a player who can be a really important player for this team. John Harbaugh said that he thinks he could have a breakout season, and so there's still a lot of hope that with David Ajabo and Adafe Owe, that those two guys will really be drivers of the pass rush. Even if you bring back a Clowney, that you're still going to get a huge increase in production from David Ajabo, and there's another level to Adafe Owe as well. Really big seasons for both of those guys. You know, the Owe going into his fourth season, Ajabo going into his third, but really hasn't been on the field much at all. So there's a lot of belief in them, and also, you know, there's pressure on them to have big seasons in critical years. And the Ravens have, you know, confidence that they can kind of be the leaders of the pass rush, the drivers of that, and they can put up some big production. So I thought that was an interesting point. Like, don't think that the Ravens are done with Ajabo. Far from it. There is really excitement around him, the progress that he's made, the work that he's put in behind the scenes, the player that he is, the person that he is, and they really think that Ajabo could have a big season this year.
Yeah, I mean, we know with Ajabo, one, he has tremendous talent. Even with the pro day injury he had to his Achilles, he was a second-round pick by the Ravens. Clearly would have been a first-round pick by someone had that injury not happened. Two, we know, you know, he got a late start in football, so he's got tremendous upside as well as talent. Since he's been here, he's been a tremendously hard worker. So they know that about him. That's not going to change. And we know that he's been really unfortunate when it's come to injury. So, you know, he's got to stay healthy, obviously, for his potential to start to come to fruition. That you hope happens for him. If that does, then, yeah, there's a lot of reason to think that he could become, you know, one of the key players on the defense as he gains experience. So, you know, just like with Bateman, I mean, the first thing is, can they stay on the field, stack practices? You hope you can see that happen if that happens with Ajabo, I think a lot of the other things will take care of themselves. And I thought Owe definitely made strides last season. I think he has a stronger foundation. Another coach, just like I mentioned Joe D earlier, we should mention, you know, Chuck Smith, what he did with the pass rushers last year, I think was a tremendous asset to the Ravens staff. And I think that's an advantage that Ojabo and Owe will have again this year, working with a coach like that, along with the other vets in that room, will help accelerate their development. If Ojabo can stay healthy, he's got the right people working with him and the right attitude to make the leap that the Ravens hope that he does.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was good to hear from them and from Coach Harbaugh today. And I think kind of provided a little bit more clarity of the direction that the way Ravens want to go this offseason, some moves that still need to be made and that are kind of being worked on behind the scenes. I thought today was revealing in that regard. So I know it's a busy time down there at the owners' meetings. You're going to get a chance to also sit down with Ravens president Sashi Brown this week, along with some other reporters. So be curious to see what comes out of that as well. So as always, you can email us at thelounge@ravens.nfl.net. Let us know what questions you have. Cliff is going to continue to cover everything from the owners' meetings. We appreciate you listening. Also, if you want to listen to John Harbaugh's full media session from the owners meetings, head over to the Ravens Press Pass podcast feed. We've got it posted for you there in its entirety. So just search Ravens Press Pass podcast. That's where all press conferences live from start to finish. So you can hear it straight from him. Make sure you leave a rating and a review and hit that subscribe button as well. Thanks for listening. We will talk with you again soon.